may be coming up here. You may be answering questions. Unless first-time visitors, I'll let you off the hook this time. But if you come back, then I'm going to get you. So, all right. What I want to do, I hope today, that you're going to, when you walk out of here, you're going to see yourself in a different way. You're going to see that God designed you for a special purpose. He's designed you in a unique way. And it's not supposed to be hard or complicated. All right? So, here's first participation. I want you to, for a moment, I want you to think in your head. I want you to think of someone who's very special. I want you to think of someone that, when I say think of someone that you think, wow, man, that person's great. They've done something wonderful. They're just out there, okay? All right, you got that person in your head? Think of someone. Okay, I'm going to ask for a couple people to give me their answers. Frank, you got someone? Who's that? Wow.
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. He comes to my mind. You got someone?
Who's your mom?
Mom, that's a good one. Jamie, who would you say? Oh, you weren't thinking.
I was thinking. Oh. I just hadn't come up with anything yet. Hold on.
Okay, got one?
I picked my mom, too.
Oh, moms are a hot list getting scored. Peggy? Billy Graham? Oh, my goodness. There's no wows? Who do you think of? Can't say mom. Any others besides mom? Who would you say?
My grandson.
Mrs. Dietz.
Oh, okay. All right. For those Billy Graham's moms and all that, do you consider yourself just as special as them? Some of you may think, no. You may think of a super football player or a Sam Solin or somebody else like that. But I'm going to say, when you walk out today, I want you to think of yourself as being just as special. That God designed you just as uniquely and just as great as those people that we named or who I didn't have, you had in your head. Okay? Here's what God says. David wrote in the psalm about us, about him. And it's in Psalm 139, and it's in verse 13. Starts in verse 13. It talks about how God formed you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eye saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. See, God's at work at us when we're in our mom's womb. He made us unique. He made you guys very special. He had a purpose for you guys all before you were even born. Every day was ordained. It's like ordained is that word that they talk about when they commission the priests and the ministers to go out. And you were ordained the same way. You don't have to be 10 years old. You don't have to be 20 years old, 30, 40 years old. God has you to do something important for him right now. Doesn't matter if you're 9. Doesn't matter if you're 3, 5. God has something special for you today. He has put in us different personalities and different gifts to do the very things he's called us to do. Now, why would God give us different gifts, different personalities? You guys know? Why do you think? Let's see what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 12, starting verse 4. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then two chapters later, it says, since you are eager, in first chapter 14, verse 12, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. So why did God, anybody tell me, why did God give us different gifts, different ways to use those gifts, different functions in those gifts, different personalities? What does it say up there? What are we supposed to do? Build up the church. And in chapter 12, it says, for the common good, right? So what's that mean? You're supposed to use your gifts, who we are, to bless other people. That's it. There's no one quite like you, and you're supposed to do it for those specific tasks. Now, where do we find the common good? Everywhere. You can go to the grocery store and find the common good. You can go to a club. You can go, you guys play football. You can go to the football field and find the common good. You can find the people around there to touch. Your dad's on the sidelines. They're coaching. He can find the common good by talking to the people right there. Go to a party. That's where we're supposed to be. It's right around us. So using our gifts is everywhere we go. We can't get away from that. All right, we have different personalities. We're going to talk about that. It makes us unique. There's some of those personalities. There's some people that you see and you think, wow, I'd like to be like them. And we have them right in our family. Sometimes we admire people. And sometimes there's personalities that drive us crazy. And we just can't get along. But that's okay because God made them special and unique. He made them for a purpose too. All right? Now, I took a course. And it's called Uniquely You, and it was Dr. Mels Carbonell came up with looking at our personalities and divided it in four categories. And so we're going to, here comes some more participation. We're going to see where everybody lays. Where is their personality? You guys can look around. All right. Now, he kind of divided these groups into the active and outgoing type of people. And then the passive and the reserved, okay? So I want to see a show of hands. How many of you consider yourself active and outgoing? You're out there, you're doing it. How many are the reserved, the passive? Okay, so we got, half and half, some of you. And there's some of you guys who like to do task-oriented things. You like paper, pencil, working with your hands, the wood, the engineering stuff. And then there's other of you that are the people type of people. You like to be around people. It would kill you if you had a job that you could never interact or talk to somebody. All right? So how many are the task-oriented people? Like to do things with your hands. How many are the people? Yeah, we're getting about 50-50. So you're making up. Now, from those, he divides our personalities into four letters. D, I, S, and C. We're going to see where everybody lies. Okay. I'm going to describe you. Now, I'm going to tell you that he says you can kind of have a blend of personalities. So if I mention you and you're like, oh, yeah, that's me. And then I say another thing and you say, well, that's kind of me too. It's okay. You can raise your hand on two groups because you can either be dominant or a blend of personalities. So I want to see where you kids lie. I'm not seeing any hands getting raised with the kids. So I think you can figure this out. Or your dads and moms can nudge you. All right. First one is a D. The D's. They like a challenge. You like to be in control. You find yourself in authority. You're direct. You can make decisions. There's some, what do you want to do? You can make that decision. You don't have a problem. You can be demanding. All right. Who did I describe as a D? Couple hands, and that's about right. We got one really doesn't want to tell me she's a D. But she's a D. And her husband, yeah, I'm sure. Okay, we have the eyes. An eye person, you like to inspire. You're the influencer. You like to, people get influenced by you. You like to be recognized by the work you do. You appreciate the fact that when you do something, you get recognized. You're interested in people. You love to be around people. Sometimes you're the person in the party that stands out. You remember everybody's names. You really interact with them. But you're not so organized. So you can't. So how many eyes do I have? Yeah, my daughter is a definite eye. Okay, this is me. The S's. Lots of S words. Steady. You're stable. You like security. You're very family-oriented. You are the one people think of you as having a servant's heart because you really like to serve the people. You also in work tend to like to specialize in an area because that does give you that security. So you will specialize because you know something really well. How many S's do I have? Oh, I got a lot more. We have a blend of maybe a little bit. And then we have the C's. C's, they're cautious. They're competent. They are really meticulous in getting their work done right. They're precise. They're the engineers that are in here. You're careful. Sometimes you're melancholy. Some of that can be a problem. But you really pay attention to your work. Really like to have quality work be correct. How many C's do I have? I got a few C's in here. That's good. Yeah. All right. Now, with all these personalities, they're all these good traits. We need every single one of them. But you know what? We also need the Holy Spirit to guide us, because along with that, we can have some rough edges, like the D-types. They can be great leaders, but God needs to help them not be so bossy. And the I's. Man, they like to be the hit of the party. Everybody loves them, but man, they need some organizational skills. They just need the help with that. And they can get a little prideful sometimes. The S's, even though we're consistent or stable, we're not so secure. And so we need the Lord to kind of nudge us to be a little bit more outgoing, a little bit more bolder. And then the C's, even though you guys do quality work, sometimes it's hard for you to see someone else who's not doing quality work and can kind of need help to be just a little bit calmer with everybody who's not so good as you, so, or so critical. But when we combine our personalities, we can go out into the world, we can be unique in the way God designed us. And He gave us gifts to go along with those personalities. And why? We talked about them. So that we can build each other up. So, we have those that are in here who are our encouragers. Those of us who can tell us we can have faith. We need the teachers. We need the servants, the apostles, the administrators. I cannot be a good administrator, but my husband can. And when we combine those things, we find that we're different and we serve the need. Like, I teach differently than my husband teaches. I'm different than the way Pastor Lanny teaches. Everybody needs these people, but we have our different personalities and different ways of doing it that gives the flavor so that we build up everybody. And so you need to take who you are in your gifting and find that your unique way touches a specific person who needs to be touched, that only you can do it. And then there's one more thing that Jesus told us to do with our personalities and with our giftings. And we find that in Matthew 28, verse 18. It's in the very last sentence of Matthew. Jesus is just about ready to go up to heaven to be with His Father. And He says in verse 18, "Then Jesus said to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So God wants us to go. He wants us to be who we are, who He's made us to be, and go and make disciples. We're supposed to go and bless people for the common good. Many times people think that when we're supposed to be going and we're supposed to be making disciples into the whole world, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. We're supposed to be the Billy Grahams. We're supposed to be making the headlines, and that's not true. I think we make it way too hard for ourselves. So I have this box of God opportunities right here. And I'm going to need some helpers, some participation. Maybe a few of you, I'll leave it. Yeah, why don't you push it back a little bit. Yeah, if you come up here, and that's all you're doing is you're going to hold something for me. I'm going to have kids and adults. And these are my God opportunities. This is so hard. Some of this stuff that God wants us to do to make opportunities tough. So let me see. This is the hardest one probably in this box. How many people like to eat? Oh, okay. Can you come on up here? Come on up here and just hold this. Yeah. All right. I'll get you again. You sit right there. I got one person. I got something for you. You can sit right here because then I'm going to get you. You guys, can I ask your friends to come over for dinner, lunch? You can sit with someone, have a picnic. Some of your dads and moms, they can go and just make a friend. Everybody likes to eat. I don't think everybody has to get hungry, right? But we can make opportunities during that time to be a friend to somebody. To have a time that we can just talk and figure out. I have heard that Brandon Monday is probably one of the best men on the base. He loves to make opportunities to sit with people, to encourage them, just to love on them. I have heard so much about Brandon, Mr. Monday, just loving and caring for people, just taking them out to lunch. All right. How many like to play games? Okay. Let me get one. I got it. You can come up, and you can come up. Hold that. All right. So just come on over here. You know, there's opportunities that we have just playing, just asking a friend to kind of do something fun. We can do it as kids. We can do it as adults. We can get a game of volleyball. Pool, doesn't matter. Come over and swim and make an opportunity. Make an opportunity. Use your personality. Use your gifting and be Jesus. All right. Now I got a couple. This is another toughie. But how many people can talk on the phone? All right. Who am I going to get? Oh, I don't have any adults. All right. All right. Stand on up there. You can take an opportunity. I've had even my son had, being a teen is hard. He's had opportunities where someone has said, you know what? I'm really down. I want to run away. He's even had a friend say, I want to commit suicide. And guess what he does? I think you need to talk with my dad. You know, I remember a time when I was pregnant and we found out I was going to lose the baby. I had a friend who would call me just consistently, not long. How you doing? How's your day? What can I do for you? Can I pray with you? We have opportunities just to be who we are and get on the phone and check with those who are in need. We're who we are and we touch those people. Who likes to cook? Come on up. Val Henry is a good thing. We have blessed Val Henry, who has had cancer, with her husband, works in D.C., we have blessed them beyond measure by just cooking the meals, cleaning. We are who we are, and just cooking a meal is not that hard. But we're God. Val Henry's husband didn't believe in the Lord. And now, through our blessing them, being consistent, being loving, he's now praying with people. He's now listening. He's not leaving the room. We are God with skin on just by doing these little things. This one's for Katie B, writing a letter. I think Katie is the biggest encourager in writing letters. There are so many of us who get it. Now, I have a story. It's a true story. I was a single person. I was probably, in my young 20s. We had a young singles group like you guys did. And I just had an opportunity. I just felt, hey, I need to write a letter to this one guy. I don't know why. But I just wrote three lines. Hi, how are you? I just wanted you to know I was thinking of you. Hope to see you soon. Your friend, Katrina. That was it. Put it in the mail. And he said to me a week or so later, he said, you know what? I needed that letter. I was so down. I didn't think I had a friend in the world. He even thought about suicide. He said, and then I go to the mailbox and there's the letter. And he said, and I felt like somebody cared about me. Somebody thought about me. Never in a million years did I know that about him. Didn't even know he was sad. But I wrote a letter. And Katie B has written us letters just in those encouraging times of just saying, I'm thinking of you. God, that was God. Just saying it. All right. How many men can actually use a tool to fix things? I ain't going to give this to Frank. You know, when my husband was gone this few weeks ago, I had an opportunity where three men came, blessed me. I just asked one, and they all jumped on it because I needed something moved and I acquired some tools, and it was just what I needed. It took the pressure away. I felt good. I can't tell you how many blessings I've heard from the men who just kind of do something. Last one. Who likes to go to parties or give parties? Oh, my daughter likes to go to parties. Here's an opportunity. Just if you can give a party or just go to a party. Now, this is not something my husband did. He went to a party. Doesn't like to give parties. Well, he likes to give parties, but he went to one, and it wasn't even a Christian social thing, but there was a girl there and started talking about God. He had an opportunity to talk with her because she was searching. And guess what? She showed up at Prague, and she's been coming ever since. She just needed some direction. She needed to know where God was. She needed some questions answered, and he just showed up to a party for a hot dog. You know, it was nothing. These are all opportunities to be God, to use your giftings, and they shouldn't be hard. Are any one of these things hard to do? No, but every one of them has a moment that you can touch someone and be a representation of God. Okay, I'm going to collect my stuff. Thank you very much. I appreciate all your help. Well, if they're missing, I'll know who has them, friend. All right. Yeah, that's good. Now, I think you saw them, we're going to have a puppet show. They're going to come up, and they're going to show us how they go out into the world, how they show the love of God. So let's give our attention to the puppets right now.
Just to cry.
Well, I'm going to go up and I'm going to talk with the puppets for a couple minutes. I got a couple questions for them. I hope you puppets don't mind if I come and talk to you. Do you think Luke and Carla could come up first? Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Luke, you seem to be you seem to be really frustrated in the beginning.
Yeah, I was getting very frustrated. I was trying to lift a very heavy bunch of boxes, but it made my day when someone came along to help me. You know, my whole day got better after that.
Oh, that's great. And you know, I noticed that later on, you helped the blind man who couldn't see the detour up in the road.
Yeah, knowing how great I felt when someone helped me out, you know, I thought I'd pass it on.
That's really neat. Thanks for sharing that with me. Carly, you seem to also be having a really bad day.
My whole day was terrible. Nothing seemed to be going right. I felt like nobody cared, but then Sally came, and it felt really good to have a friend.
Oh, I'm really glad. I'm glad that she could bring you some comfort. She seemed to really care. So thank you for sharing that with me. Do you guys think you could bring up Dee Dee and Mr. Kallenberg?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Hi. Do you think I could ask you guys a couple questions?
Yep.
Sure.
Dee Dee, it must have been really hard for you to be in prison.
Oh, it was. I was so lonely and scared. But then Mr. Kallenberg came and started to visit me, and I had hope and had something to look forward to. He told me that Jesus loved me, and that feels wonderful.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad about that. Mr. Kallenberg, you are a businessman, and you seem to be really, really busy, but you're able to do all these things. How do you fit it all in?
Well, you know, it felt good to take time off work to be able to go and help someone. And, you know, it felt even better knowing that it was what God wanted me to do.
That's neat. I really appreciate you guys talking to me. Thank you very much.
Yep.
You know, it seems to me that these puppets have learned what we've been talking about. Not only do they bless others when they do things, but they also get blessed back. And so that's really what we've been talking about today. So I'm going to ask if all the puppeteers could come down in the front right now, and just so that we could recognize you and see your faces. Want to appreciate that I have watched them at work, and this has been a really hard production. There is a lot of kids, and I am just so impressed at the talent that they have. I also appreciate Joey Brunger and Karen Alvey. They are awesome in what they do. And I want to recognize one more person. That was Brandon Monday. He was in the sound room, spending time with them, really helping with the sound effects on the stage and lighting and all that. So thank you, Brandon, for all your work. Lindsay Alvey, she's back there being so. She did a lot of the choreography, I think, and really helped them. So thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So the puppet showed us how easy it was to help someone. That wasn't hard. It's just a little bit of their time, a little bit of seeing something and responding. And it not only changed them, we saw in the character of Luke, he had a frustrating day with the boxes and someone helped him. And then all of a sudden he wanted to pass that along. It felt good for him. And so he responded to that. And he did what he wanted to do because he knew what a blessing it was. Now, do you remember when I asked you to think of something or someone special in the beginning? You've heard stories that I've told about how simple, when we had all these people lined up, how simple it was just to do a little thing. Write a letter, play football, make a meal. But when we combine that with who God created us, we go out and make disciples. We affect someone's life. I am not the same person that I was because I had people come into my life that just kind of tweaked me, that made a difference, made an impact in my life, helped me to see God, and just kind of changed me into a better person. And that rolls on to the next person, the next person. You don't have to have someone write a book about you. You don't have to have someone being in the news to make a difference, because all you have to be is who God designed you to be. God gave us our personalities, our gifts, and He's just asking us to use them. Now, some of you may be thinking, you know, I just have a hard time thinking of what I have to offer. Maybe you think you're only ordinary and can't do much. But I hope that you see the things aren't hard to do. Sometimes the ordinary makes a difference, a huge difference in somebody's life. Fixing a car, filling somebody's gas tank up with gas, doing letters or cooking. It's okay. Sometimes people just need to know that God knows they exist, that God's actually listening to them. And when we take those opportunities, it's that opportunity to say, oh, God is out there. God knows who I am. He does care. And so you are commissioned to make those opportunities. I'm going to have us close in prayer. So would you please stand? Heavenly Father, You have given us different personalities, different giftings. You haven't made it hard for us. Sometimes we make it hard on ourselves by thinking You need us to be bigger and better. But help us to see that we can affect people every single day just by being who You created us to be. And even when we have those bad days, give us the strength to keep going. Help us to be sensitive to the people around us. Help us to think of the Holy Spirit, to ask them to be our guide, to give us good counsel, so that we can go and make disciples wherever we are. And I thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I know this is my husband's real push, so I don't know if he has a couple words he'd like to say. I know he's probably chomping on the middle. So you can sit down.
Think of where to start here. I like old movies. We'll start there. And I might have told you this before, but one of my favorite movies is Singing in the Rain. I love that movie. I have never, the way Gene Kelly moves is unbelievable. So, since the first time I saw that movie and I was just a kid, I always wanted to learn how to tap dance. And so a few years ago, I decided the time was ripe. And so for the past few years, I've been taking tap dancing classes. It's just something that I love to do. But in the midst of that, I get an opportunity to touch people in the community. The party that she was talking about was an end of the year type from the tap dancing class. And every week I get to go in and just, I've invited people to church, just simply being there. They know who I am. They know that I'm a preacher tap dancer. And so I have opportunity. So the encouragement is this, is just as Katrina was talking about, simply through opportunities of things that you love to do, something that you've been meaning to do for a long time. You know, a lot of the children, they play soccer, football, baseball, taekwondo. The adults, I don't know if they get out to do as much, but you can go out and do things like take a dance class or a sewing class or whatever it is, whatever thing it is that you really wish that you would have never learned to do, you want to learn to do, or just something that you love, then just go. Just go out and be available in the community. Because we're going to have a lot more opportunity to reach the people in the community doing these things that we simply enjoy than we will by planning some big, you know, tent revival thing, you know, here out in our back. Okay, so I encourage you to simply go, but don't go just as drudgery, go in the context of something you love to do and then pray for opportunity, that God will make opportunity and people know who you are and they can come and they know that you are available to them. Okay. Also, I would encourage you to be empathetic, to consider the needs of others, to look around in that context. What are the needs of those? And ask again the Lord opportunity to meet those needs. Okay? So let's pray. Lord, first of all, I want to thank you for this wonderful message. I thank you that the Holy Spirit truly spoke through Katrina to minister to young and old alike. Father, I just ask that you would put it on our hearts to go. But not to go out of a sense of drudgery, but to go forward in the something that we love to do and to just simply minister to those naturally out of our abundance, out of what you have implanted within us. Lord, this week we ask for opportunity that we would see a need, that we would be empathetic to that need, and that the Holy Spirit would give us the words to go and minister to that person and meet that need. Or give us the actions, whatever it is, to go and meet that need. Because, Father, therein lies true community. So, Father, we thank you again. We lift this up. We ask this in Jesus' name. Okay, so for each of us this week, we're just looking for an opportunity. And we're looking to meet some need as we go out into the world. Anything else? Okay. You can stand, please. If you are looking for any particular need, you're looking for someone to pray with, and we have ministers who are available up here to pray with you. If you'd come forward, please. Could we get the podium moved out of the way right quick? Yeah, Casey Frank, if you'd help, thanks, appreciate it. Jason's all over that. What? Yeah, all these servants, thank you. So there's some particular need of something over the course of the message that bless you and you're looking truly to pray over something, some item in that. Or if there's something that is just emotionally distressing to you and you're looking for prayer over that. Or since we have been graced so much in the recent year with physical healing, if you're in some kind of pain or if there's some physical ailment with which you struggle, then the altar is open. If not, then you are dismissed. The sunroom is downstairs. You all see the new big signs, the pragnet.org? And then I really like the sunroom, just so you know where it is downstairs. You see that? There's a big sunroom sign down there. So anyway, you're dismissed to go to the sunroom. We'll have refreshments down there. What do they call it? Cut? And I forget what they call it. Snack and yak. Yes, snack and yak. That's what it is. So you're dismissed for that.